We find ourselves a little less than a week away from the observance of St. Michael and All Angels. So jumping the gun a bit, hear the glorious text, Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 12. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven proclaiming, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our comrades has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. But they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they did not cling to life even in the face of death. Rejoice then, you heavens, and those who dwell in them. Rejoice. Rejoice." I have to admit, I left off the last verse. Here it is. "But woe to the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you with great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." We live in tension. In a tension between the accomplished victory of Christ and the fact that we inhabit a still fallen creation. So today, where do you find yourself? Celebrating and rejoicing, or struggling under burdens? And what is it that you fight against in this world of burdens? Or to put it a little differently, what is it you dream about finally overcoming so that when that happens, everything will be aligned in your life and finally, finally, all things will be put right? Is it financial? Is it having enough money to get your kids off to college? Is it having your kids have enough money so they will leave your house after having come back from college? Is it your health? Is it your work? Is it your ministry? Is there something that burdens you today that would steal from you the opportunity to rejoice? Or, again, to put it a little bit differently, would you rather have sufferings and challenges in this world or the good life on the world's terms? The wealthy life, the easy life, the victorious life, the epic life. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The recurring problem, it seems to me, for Jesus' followers is this question of greatness. Who is the greatest? Over and over again, we hear how they are jockeying for position, how they are working against one another, scheming and plotting, and trying to find a way to the top. And it always seems they do so on the margin, just outside the hearing of the Lord. But then he bursts in and upsets their conversations with repeated statements about what makes one truly great. Not being served, but serving. Not being powerful, but being powerless. Not being the greatest, but being the least. and he calls us to that as well. And we won't do it. It is one of the most gripping and enduring images of the 20th century. 1965, the second Ali-Liston fight. Muhammad Ali stands over his vanquished foe, taunting him. Get up and fight. A first round knockout. Get up and fight. You can almost hear him saying, as you look at the picture, his words from the first fight. I am the greatest. That is us, triumphalist and arrogant. In nearly 20 years of serving at this seminary, I found that the problems we face can almost always be traced to one or the other of us claiming the status of the greatest. My personal method of addressing this problem was to be elected president that way. In all seriousness, whether it was Adam and Eve who thought they knew better than God, or we ourselves who think we know better than God, the response of Christ to our arrogant triumphalism is a strong one. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Trapped in our triumphalistic arrogance, there is only one way out, and that is the one who came to serve. That is why we rejoice along with St. Michael and all angels and with all the faithful that Christ has come as one who serves, emptying himself so that we might be filled with the love and grace of God. This reality has special meaning for us these next several days here at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, as we welcome to our campus guests from around the world for the 2014 Lutheran International Disaster Response Conference. Standing with mercy in times of disaster is a poignant and applicable theme for the present situation of our world. The Lord is in our midst and will keep his promise always to be with us and to make this time a blessing for us all here on this campus and as we go forth into all the world. For in the end, this is not about us individually, LCMS disaster response, or Lutheranism in general. It's about Christ. Christ and the forward movement of his mission. It is about us learning to be the people who plunge into the brokenness of our communities by sharing God's mercy, which is ours, through faith in the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ. For it is only in Christ that we are able to confess both the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us, and that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. To that end, I pray that this conference will be a blessing to you, that you may be a blessing to others. For the love of Christ controls us, because we who have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And so we sing. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our comrades has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. But they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they did not cling to life even in the face of death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and those who dwell in them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.